Star Wars. I just wanted to get that out of the way right at the top of the show. Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. I am Wade Keller, and it is Thursday, December 17th, 2015. Thanks for joining me today on your way to or from seeing Star Wars. We also have a lot of non-Star Wars things I'd like to talk about. In fact, pretty much exclusively non-Star Wars things, and that is the NXT TakeOver special last night. And a big episode of Monday Night Raw. I talked with Jason Powell of ProWrestling.net a lot about that earlier this week on Tuesday. And today on Interview Thursday, I will be joined by Stone Cold Steve Austin. Now, Steve is someone that I spoke to about the TLC pay-per-view on his podcast this week. So we got a lot of our thoughts out on TLC, but I'm very interested in hearing what Steve has to say about the follow-up, and we'll just kind of look ahead and also take your questions. Our email address for questions for Steve Austin is pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. And if you want to give us a call, the number is 646-721-9828. We're going to talk about Steve Austin's career, His past big matches, his thoughts on the industry. If you're probably a listener to his podcast over at Podcast One, The Steve Austin Show, and The Steve Austin Show Unleashed, here's a chance to talk to him live and talk to him about some things going on currently in pro wrestling. So we're going to bring Steve on board. I want to get our first commercial break out of the way so that it's all clear moving forward from there. So when we come back from hearing from our sponsors, we will have Steve Austin joining us. As a listener of the PW Torch Livecast, it's obvious you're a pro wrestling fan who likes pro wrestling podcasts. Now there's a new website for you. Hi, I'm PW Torch Managing Editor Wade Keller, and I'm excited to announce that we have launched a new website called pwpodcasts.com. This website reports on pro wrestling podcasts by Steve Austin, Taz, Jim Ross, Colt Cabana, the crew at Grantland with Chief Pete, and so many more. You get full, comprehensive reports of what was talked about with timestamps so that you can jump to the subjects that interest you most, even when your time is limited, or details on what was said if you just don't have time to listen to that podcast this week, and guides on which podcasts really stand out as must-listen and which ones maybe you can afford to skip this week if your time is limited. Individual, comprehensive, long reports on all of the top pro wrestling podcasts out there, updated every day at pwpodcasts.com. Check it out. That's pwpodcasts.com. All right, we are back, and I want to make a quick note of our Amazon affiliation. When you are shopping for your relatives and your friends or yourself over the next 7-8 days leading into Christmas, and you're going to Amazon to do so, please think of us. And instead of typing AMAZ, stop and type pwtorch.com/Amazon. When you do that, you'll see a US, UK, or Canada link. And if you're from those areas, click on that and you land right on the Amazon homepage and you can shop away. And whatever you buy on that shopping trip leads to us getting a cut of the profit that Amazon would normally keep. We appreciate you thinking of us. Again, that's pwtorch.com/Amazon. They give us a kickback for mentioning them here on this show. All right, let's, with no further ado, bring Stone Cold Steve Austin onto the program. Steve, long time no talk.
Yeah, it's been a while. I missed you, Wade. How are you?
I'm doing good. Now, I have to say, and I know it's will seem sort of overbearing given how much everybody is talking about it, but I need to know, have you seen Star Wars yet?
No, man, but I saw the trailer for that movie, and I told my wife, I said, that's one movie. I don't go to movies anymore. I wait for them to come out on DVD or on demand. That is one movie that I'm looking forward to seeing. Is it badass?
I haven't seen it yet. I'm actually probably not going to see it till Saturday, and so I've got to somehow disconnect myself completely from social media. Steve, just so you felt at home, I thought I would have a dog barking in the background during our show, like happened on the Tuesday show with you earlier this week. I don't know if you can hear him.
Wade, that's gimmick infringement. I had the dogs barking first.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. All right. Well, Steve, let's... yeah, the movie looks badass. The early reviews, spoiler-free, just sound phenomenal. So I'm very happy about that. But anyway, back to pro wrestling.
Hey, the one thing about Star Wars before we move on that bothered me, it's like the dude that they got playing Darth Vader, he looks like he's kind of a skinny guy. And back in the day, the Darth Vader was a big guy. So I don't know if it's because, you know, they expect Darth Vader to have a six-pack underneath that, all that get-up or whatever. But so to me, you know, he looked a little bit more intimidating or imposing with that larger-than-life figure coupled with that voice. So nonetheless, I'm looking forward to seeing a new Star Wars movie. I just thought they should have maybe put Darth Vader on some PEDs, jack him up a little bit more. Even though he's all covered up, he looks more menacing when he's bigger.
All right. Well, there you go. Thanks, Steve. Well, I'll give you my thoughts on it. I haven't seen enough of Darth to give my my opinion to know if I agree or disagree with you on that.
All right.
We'll save it for next conversation. All right. Let's just throw something out there. Vince Russo, Jim Ross was on the show last Thursday, and he said, when I plugged that I'd be on your show reviewing TLC, he said, well, I'll have Vince Russo on my show reviewing TLC. And Russo and Ross talked. And one thing that came up is Kevin Owens. I know you're a fan of his. You had him on your show. Vince Russo said, he doesn't look like a star. And that's Kevin Owens. He's been a critic of Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens today on Twitter said, and I'm paraphrasing, but the gist of it is right, I feel better not having Vince Russo on my side. it doesn't bother him. I'm kind of with Kevin Owens on this one. So, Steve, I bring it up because, you know, you talk about appearance being very important for, like, Darth Vader. And I absolutely agree with you on that one, that you want to have the person playing a role look the part. No question about it. But in pro wrestling, don't you want a wide variety of body types? To me, pro wrestling gets a lot less interesting if everybody out there is somewhere in between Wade Barrett, Randy Orton, and Sheamus in terms of body type. You want to have some husky guys like Bray Wyatt or Kevin Owens or, heck, Mick Foley. I mean, there's all these different body types out there. Do you think Kevin Owens, though, is that there's anything holding him back, or do you think promoters should just embrace the way that he looks?
No, I embrace the way that it looks. I love his attitude. He has that obstinate presence. I think he just hits a gas pedal verbally a little bit in his promos. With that being said, he is a great talker. I love his work in the ring. I'm a Kevin Owens fan. They can keep jacking that guy up, keep pushing him. But no, I'm a Kevin Owens fan. I love his look. I'm all about different body types, man. When everybody out there looks like a bodybuilder, hey, if you've got a great body, more power to you, man, because that's obviously a plus. But not all the body guys can work like a Kevin Owens. The dude's got a dynamic moveset. Whatever Vince Russo's opinion is what it is, and he's entitled to it, just like we all are. But nonetheless, I'm a guy who's been at the top, and I like what I see in Kevin Owens. I don't give a damn if he's got a six-pack or not. Every now and then, hit the gas pedal a little bit on the promos, make a point a little bit faster. And that's the only critique I would have as far as Kevin Owens goes. But I love everything about that kid. And I had a hard time putting this into the right phrase. I don't want to jump subjects on your way, but yep. When I was talking about what Roman Reigns needed was, you know, he said sometimes he kind of plods along. I meant to say just be more aggressive in your actions. So that was what I was trying to get out but could not get out on my show was Roman needs to be a little bit more in attack mode with a little bit more sense of urgency and aggressive. Anyway, back to your thing about Kevin Owens. I love that kid.
Yeah, no, actually, I'll say about the Romans thing. I was going to say sense of urgency, and you said it, you know, while you were talking. That was kind of the phrase that I think on occasion, and it's like you're saying with Kevin Owens, hit the gas pedal on promo sometimes. It's when you do it when it counts that it really jumps out, you know, that it works.
Yeah, because sometimes right now he's a little too static on his promos. I mean, they're just because of the pacing.
Yep.
And sometimes when you're really pissed off, like he emphasized that one word when he was talking to JoJo backstage. But for the most part lately, his promos have kind of just been that steady cadence. And you've got to understand, you know, sometimes when you're trying to rope people in, changing speeds, changing up cadences. If you ever listen to a good talker, good speaker, or a good singer, just sometimes the way they phrase things will really rope you in and draw you to them. And sometimes even repel you, depending on what you're trying to do with that promo. So I think that's the only thing that's missing in his whole act. I don't give a damn if the kid's out there wearing the long shorts and the KO shirt. I like that guy, and I think he's money.
I'm with you, Steve, 100%. The follow-up to TLC, I want to make sure we have time for that. We got some good email questions, too. I want to encourage people to keep sending them in, and I'll weave them into the conversation for sure. pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. The follow-up on Monday, Roman Reigns captures the WWE World Heavyweight title, and he went through Triple H at TLC, which we talked about on your show on Tuesday, and he went through, well, I wouldn't say he went through Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon kicked him in the nuts. I wouldn't say he went through Stephanie. He took about 8 stiff slaps that seemed like he might have had a headache the next day from them. Stephanie threw some pretty stiff ones there. But nevertheless, in the end, it was a build-up for Roman getting a pop for giving Vince McMahon, 70 years old, the chairman, a Superman punch. And boy, did Vince sell that. Steve, what did you think of the follow-up? That was a big part of our conversation on TLC. Is the key is the follow-up. They got momentum coming out of Sunday. How do you grade the follow-up? Mixed bag, A+, where does it fall?
Well, when you and I were sending text messages, I saw the opening segment, and I thought that was, you know, it was okay. And then they showed the replay of the Stephanie slaps, which I love, because Stephanie, just like my working punches, she's known for laying those slaps in, and she had to, or you'd have seen right through everything. And so, man, Roman's face was red. He was almost tearing up because the slap does hurt. So Stephanie was evil. She did her part. Then the promo with Vince was okay. And then Roman needs to be a little he's got to tone down those smirks a little bit. I mean, he overacts on those smirks. So he's got to back off a little bit on the facials when he's being talked down to and just kind of have a little cocky, crap-eating grin a little bit. But he kind of overplays that. I missed where he actually got the belt because I had a lot of things going on over here at the ranch. But how did the crowd respond?
It was Philadelphia, and they did not reject him.
okay.
You know, I mean, when he came out, he got some cheers. It wasn't like overwhelming boos. The crowd, I would say that they received him on Raw for sure better than the night before, which is an accomplishment given it was Philly on Monday and Boston on Sunday. I think Philly typically would be harder on him. And then by the end of the night, when he was celebrating, they were cheering, but it was a couple steps forward for sure, but it wasn't like a superstar response. But again, I think they're laying the foundation and moving in the right direction, but there's still some work to do. That's kind of the way I feel. Big, successful.
There's going to be a lot of work to do on the back end.
Yeah.
But I thought you said when we were describing some matches the other day, you said the word clunky. I thought the promo with Vince was a little clunky. I thought when he came out there to sit at ringside and just buy time and make Roman sweat, I thought that was kind of, you know, I don't know, a little forced. And then, you know, just to grant the championship match, bam, right out of the blue. But if he doesn't win, then he's going to be fired. So you really saw the outcome happen right there because of the way the promo was. But so anyway, I didn't see the execution. I didn't see the follow-up. I didn't see the reaction. But now with him being the champion, it's going to be remain to be seen, you know, how they book this guy again. You know, you're talking about a guy who, at this point, his work has really improved, but he's got to be more aggressive. He's got to have a sense of urgency. Now, you know, he's defending that belt, not chasing it. And, boy, I tell you what, when you're he's still pretty green. I think we can be quite frank in that regard, especially with respect to holding a championship belt. So, man, he's really got some pressure on him with the fact that he now is the champion. And he is there right now, their number one guy.
You know, when you look at the lineup of heels, there's not a lot of heel opponents for Roman Reigns lined up. And I thought that worked against Sting. When Sting, back in 90, became NWA World Heavyweight Champion, they had some good heels on the roster, but they didn't have them ready. You know, they weren't hot. They weren't, oh, God, how's Sting going to get through this guy? I want to see Sting take this guy out. I sort of feel that way now with Roman, that they haven't set him up with heels. And since the crowd doesn't love Roman Reigns, across the board. I mean, there's pockets of fans like that guy who held up a sign. There was a guy who held up a sign a few weeks ago, Steve, and I mentioned it, that said, "Our wives are here to see Roman Reigns." And then in smaller print, it said, "And we can't understand why." And so that's kind of the Roman challenge. Is it smart, or is it, I mean, to put Roman in there either against Brock Lesnar or John Cena after he finishes up with Triple H? And I don't know the order they're going in, but I'm thinking perhaps Roman against Hunter at the Rumble, and then, because Hunter's not going to win the Rumble, and I don't think Roman's going to drop the belt. So you have to have then the Rumble winner be either Cena or Lesnar to face Roman at WrestleMania. At least that seems to cover 85% of the bases that I can think of. Is that sabotaging Roman a little bit by putting him in a big match at Mania against two guys, Lesnar, who's mega popular, and Cena, who has a similar fan base as Roman, and that the women and the kids maybe like him, but the guys don't?
Well, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter who you put him with. He's got to shine, and he's got to do his half of the match. And, you can book him with anybody, but at the end of the day, now, man, I mean, you got to put your big boy trunks on, go in there, and have a badass match. You know, wanting to be the top guy is a goal that everybody should have. And then wanting to have that championship belt is something everybody want to aspire to. All of a sudden, when you become that top guy or when you get that belt, hey, man, it's put up or shut up. So, you know, I think if it's always good to have a goal, but all of a sudden, when you've kind of been prematurely pushed and kind of rejected, and then all of a sudden now you're the guy, now the pressure's on more than ever. So all he's got to do is shine and do the best he can. But the bottom line is he's got to shine. He's got to make chicken salad out of chicken scratch, and, you know, he's either going to sink or he's going to swim. So, you know, if you sink, you got to swim back to the top. You just can't fail. You can have roadblocks put in your way. You can have performances that aren't so great, but at the end of the day, you've got to get better, and you've got to be able to turn those people on when the bell rings within a 15 or 20 minute time period and give them a reason to like what you're doing.
If you and Rock and Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan were 10, as far as having at least enough boxes checked as big star, top guy, in ring, on mic, the right guy for the right moment in time. Because you were the right guy for the right moment in time. Ric Flair in the Carolinas, in the Southeast, and other pockets of the country, right guy, right time. In fact, he would have been fine nationally. Hulk Hogan, obviously, right guy, right time for the expansion. In that regard, I guess I'm kind of complicating the question. Two questions. Where do you rate Roman right now on his progress to trying to become an 8, 9, or 10? Because I'd say Bret and Shawn were probably 8s or 9s in that regard. They weren't that top tier. Where is he now? And then, is he the right guy for the right time, or can he be?
Man, I tell you what. Here's a guy that I really like, and I want him to succeed. But, man, what are you grading on, a 1 to 10 scale?
Yeah, let's say, like I said, if you say Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart as centerpiece stars were an 8 or a 9, the attempt to go with Sid or, and I'm not trying to get you to pick him, but like Sid, you know, turned out to be a 4 or 5. You know, he had some things good, but he just wasn't a guy that they could really lean on full speed. Where do you think Roman is, and where do you think he tops out at, given the progress you've seen?
Man, I don't know where he's going to top out at, because that would be speculation. Because, and it's interesting, because you would look at someone in this regard different than I would. Like me, I consider Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart both 10s. You know, now based on the scheme of, you know, maybe you could say technically I drew more money, but when you look at the skill set with respect to what they did in the ring, I was a damn good worker. I would classify those two as better workers than me, so that's why I, you know, it's hard for me to put a number on someone. I'll just say that Roman's got a long ways to go.
Yeah.
He's progressing, and I don't want to put a number on him, but he's progressing. Can he be all that they want him to be? I don't know for sure yet. No one knows. And again, it's like I always tell you on my show, you can be a top guy because you're the top guy, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to automatically put asses in the seats. And that's ultimately the goal, and to have enough of a fan base to make people or do something that's of the it factor or X factor that makes people want to give their hard-earned money to buy a ticket and see you perform in an arena or watch you on television, which is what, you know, the four guys you mentioned, along with Brett and Sean, did. So the kid has to do that.
Do you think, I've never thought of asking you this before, do you think that you helped to define the era that you were in more than you were the right guy for the era that would have existed anyway? In other words, you were part of that Attitude Era. You can frame yourself in a lot of different adjectives, but did you kind of define an era, or were you the right guy for the era that you that was going to exist no matter what? That the fan base sort of wanted something, and you fulfilled it.
Man, I don't know. It's hard to answer a question like that about myself. I would say I helped define it, but I think I was the right guy at the right time. And a lot of guys had attitude back then. And when you look at the totality of our card, the roster we had, I mean, there's so many guys right now that aren't in the Hall of Fame that will be in the Hall of Fame in the next few years, of guys who are in the same locker room. You know, when I was on top, they're just, you know, that locker room was absolutely loaded with phenomenal talent. The depth was off the charts. So anyway, I think Mick Foley always says it best. Hey, man, I was the right guy at the right time. And that's about as far as I'd go with that, because I don't want to sit there like I'm blowing smoke up my ass.
Let's just admit it. You sucked. You were lucky. You had friends in high places. You were the most over.
Man, I had a good run, but I don't like to get the big head about it.
I know,
but those other everybody else was so damn good.
That's
I like Mick said it, and I'll just repeat what Mick said. Hey, I was the right guy at the right time. Hey, and I could have been a player. You know, when Flair was in his prime, I could have been a player when Hogan was in his prime. But you know, that's all speculation, because I came along when I did, and they did when they did. So it was what it was, and I was happy to have the run that I had with all the guys that I crossed paths with, especially with respect to the Attitude Era in WWF. We had a badass card.
Let's pivot to NXT. Did you have a chance to see last night's card at all?
Yes, I watched part of the Bayley match. What's the big girl's name?
Nia Jax.
Yeah, I like her. She's still a little bit green, but I like that girl.
I do too.
She plays a good monster heel, and of course I love Bayley's work. And so I saw about half of that match. I liked what I was watching. And I got a chance to watch Samoa Joe and Finn Balor once through, and right now I'm watching that as we speak on the telephone.
Excellent. Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, your thoughts. I loved it. I thought it was a great main event.
I didn't like the start. I didn't like the first 3 to 4 minutes. I thought Joe, being a bigger guy, should have went ahead and took that. But obviously, you know, on the build-up, it looked like Samoa Joe had pissed off Finn Balor. So, you know, I didn't like the start. After when Joe started throwing the punches in the corner, those jabs, that's when I started getting into the match. And then it trailed off a little bit. And then about the 7 or 8 minute mark, it really picked back up. Some of the things I'd like to see out of Finn Balor, just a little bit more fire. And so he'll come with the chops every now and then, but he needs to just have a little bit more fire as a baby face. Now, that being said, I'm a huge Samoa Joe fan. I'm a huge Finn Balor fan. Both these guys can work their asses off. Those enziguri gimmick kicks Samoa Joe was doing in the corner, and by the same token, Finn Balor, I think he used one or two. Just off-the-chart stuff. But one of my things is with Finn Balor is I love that gimmick. You know, the paint is very unique. It looks cool. But he's such a good-looking guy. When you get him in trouble or when he fires up, it's hard to see that expression because of all that paint. So I know it makes for a bunch of action figures, but, you know, when you look at Dale Wilkes, the Patriot, working on that mask, his fire came from within. And you couldn't see his face, so you say, "Well, how was he able to pull that across, Steve?" You could just see it in his body language. So I think Finn, whether it's through body language or when he works without the paint, I think you'll see more fire out of the kid. But man, to me, he's such a good-looking guy. I wouldn't cover him up with a bunch of paint. But I love both guys. I thought there's segments of the match where Premier, oh, Joe just did that double chop on the trap. I love that.
Yeah,
I love when he uses the elbow too. But anyway, I think they probably had better matches. I think there was good spots in this match. In its totality, I think it was pretty damn good. Both guys are capable of much better.
We have an email question regarding Finn Balor. I'll go to that. This is Anthony from Australia. He says, "Hi, Steve. It will be morning in Australia when you get this, and I'll be on my way to work. So a swig of coffee for the working man. My son, at Mini Balor, loves Finn Balor after meeting him a couple times. What do you think is the best way to introduce him to the main roster to ensure he doesn't get stuck in the mid-card?"
I don't know the best way to introduce this guy. I just know that they have high hopes for him. I know they're going to push the hell out of him. So I just, man, I said, how would you introduce him?
I think that I would not do it as part of a faction or a group or a friendship. I would introduce him in with a different, and I'm using the term a lot this week because Triple H used it last week in his conference call with the media promoting last night's NXT TakeOver special. I would introduce Finn Balor with a different vibe and feel than I've ever done with anybody else. And I wouldn't overhype him. This, I don't want this to be Glacier Part 2, but I think that when he comes in, I think for him it's important to treat him out of the gate, although there's multiple ways this could work, but I'm going to stick with this. I think out of the gate, you want to introduce him as a big deal. And I think part of that is overcompensating for what doesn't bother a lot of people, but might bother some, which is he's not tall. He's, you know, Jericho's height. And maybe even an inch shorter. So I think you want to portray him out of the gate, not as somebody with no accomplishments and who's trying to prove himself, but somebody with international, kind of how they portray him in NXT, a guy with international accomplishments who's now come to WWE to test himself against the best. Have that be chapter one, but I think after that, you set it up as this guy's a big deal. Then I think he being himself and not over-scripting him, not over-controlling him, is part of what the charm is, because with him, I think it's there's a natural charisma that's understated in a that I think a lot of people are fearful, Steve, and this is what I'm trying to talk my way through, that Vince McMahon will meet him, look down at him, see him as being from another land and too short, and not see him as larger than life, not understanding that what attracts people to Finn Balor is almost that superhero of he's a normal guy, but then when he gets in the ring for a big match, he becomes a superhero. And I think playing off of that in a non-cheesy, cartoonish way is the key. But I don't think you introduce him like, you know, 1-2-3 kid. Oh, who's this little guy? Oh, my gosh, he actually is competing with Sheamus. I think you kind of treat him like a big deal out of the gate in terms of his resume.
Yeah, I treat him like a big deal out of the gate because of his resume. And, you know, of course, the guy, you know, was over like hell in Japan. And he's a tremendous worker. And I just think that you don't want to get too much heat on this guy early. Shine him up in all of his matches. Because he's not the biggest guy in the world. But, man, to me, again, to me, he's blue-collar. He's humble. You talk about the kind of the what do you call him, a superhero type thing with the makeup and everything?
Well, where you kind of go, you're Clark Kent by day and Superman by night.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you know, there's all that, but I just think, you know, the guy's a real McCoy. I think he's blue-collar, he's a hard-working guy, he's a good-looking kid. And so there's two different ways you can play him, you know, as that guy or as kind of this comic book hero type thing with all the paint, which is dynamic. I think, you know, there'll be a lot of kids that get into this. Again, the only problem I have with that when you paint this guy up, I don't want to harp on the fact that I think he's a good-looking guy, but to me, that's one of his strengths, and he's the real deal. When you watch him do his interviews, you know, this is wrestling is what he does for a living. It's his passion, and that's his mission in life, is to be the world champion and to be the best you can inside a squared circle. So I'd like to be able to have all of his facial expressions available. The paint stuff is cool. I don't know, Wade. I don't know how to answer your question. I'll be just as interested as everybody else to watch what happens with the guy, but I really like his body of work. He's paid his dues, and he's badass.
Oh, he sure is. And I think one of the things about Finn is he's one of the guys, too, you could almost kind of get out of the way. I think there's some guys, like Kevin Owens, I feel that way, too, with don't think that you need to go, well, who is Kevin Owens, and have it be, He's the Viper, or he's the, you know, like the two word, the demon. Like Kevin Owens is, he's a dad who's got, who will justify, who's got a snotty attitude. He's full of himself. He can back it up in the ring, but he's too cocky about it. And he's willing to justify doing anything to get ahead, quote, because he's a family guy. And I love that. People go, well, how is he a heel if he talks about his, being a dad and loving his kid? Well, because he's willing to step on you to get ahead in a way that's not sportsmanlike. And step on you, even if you're a dad with a kid, he'll kick your kid aside and cheat to get ahead. Like, I like that he uses his family as an excuse to be a jerk. And that makes him a heel. And they kind of get, and I like that they haven't just tried to make him anything other than that. And with Finn, sometimes it is kind of step out of the way and let him be Finn and bring that, that more sports-like, here's an athlete who wants to be the best at what he does. And then there's kind of that Jeff Hardy enigma aspect of there's just something innate and kind of different about him that that attracts people.
Yeah, and going back to this match, like I said, this is the second time I'm watching this match, and again, I think these two could have had a better match than they had, and this is a good match. But one of the things I like best about this match is how that they're not telegraphing one single thing, and this is just two guys that probably have, I don't know, 15 years of better experience, close to that much. Two really veteran hands, and you can see the work that they're doing is premium work. There's no telegraphing. You can't see a whole lot of talking. You can't, you know, see them setting up for the next sequence. This is about as organic and as real as you can get inside a ring. So with that respect, this is off the charts.
And that's kind of what I think Triple H is getting at with NXT, saying there's a different vibe and feel. And he's got to be careful because, I mean, I think there's things about NXT that would not be done if he were in charge on the main roster, because I think maybe he deep down believes some aspects of what NXT is only work on a smaller scale with a niche audience. And that I just don't know, because he's got his foot in both pools. He's an advocate and supporter, although Vince ultimately has a final say on the main roster, but he's very involved in NXT, but there might be things he's doing there that he doesn't think would play on a very large scale, and we just wouldn't know until he gained that power. But what I do like that I hear from him is it does seem like he believes that having that kind of sports-like vibe is in that sense of what matters is competing and winning is enough sometimes to draw people in. You want to give people someone they're rooting for, someone they're rooting against, and something to fight for. And sometimes that's all you need, and then you just pick the right guys and get out of the way and let them tell their story on the microphone.
Yeah, I agree, and it'll be interesting to see you know, how this thing keeps going. When are they going to bring Samoa Joe up?
Good question. I mean, he's, you know, in his late 30s, 36, 37. He's not too old where you go, well, you know, it's too late. But I'm thinking probably after WrestleMania. I don't think he's on a path to get called up before then, but I wouldn't rule it out. I think a heel Samoa Joe against Roman Reigns answers a question I brought up 15 minutes ago, which is who are the heels who are lined up for Roman to have a feud with and get a win against? Because Vince McMahon and Triple H are not going to build the main brand around Samoa Joe, probably. I mean, maybe he just takes off and pops ratings and it's like, holy crap, look at what just happened here. We got to go with him. But that's probably not their intent at his age and his type. But he can be a top five heel in that company for the next 5 years. And a Roman Reigns feud, I think, would be good.
Man, Samoa Joe is one of the best workers in the world right now. I don't care what anybody says. The only thing I can nitpick on him, sometimes he needs to hit the gas pedal with sets of urgency on some of his covers or just in regards to heat. But he can draw out a match just because of the time-filling stuff that he does. But I love everything this guy does. His selling in the ring, that kind of when he gets hit with that kick and he does that stagger in the middle of the ring, his offensive moveset. And I tell you what, I'm just a huge Samoa Joe fan. Just hit the gas pedal a little bit when you're getting on somebody. But other than that, man, I can't say nothing but good things about his work.
That's great, and I'm with you. I'm a huge advocate for Joe. I'm just trying to be realistic. I like bringing him up for a feud with Roman, but I don't want it to be just some quick in and out, because right now the focus clearly is going to be a WrestleMania
match. Well, no, because this is the kind of guy that can take Roman Reigns and have a 30-minute match with him if you want to. Now, do you want Roman to go 30? Man, I don't know if you do, but you can go out there and give the way Joe works, you know, and drawing out time, you could get 30, but you could damn sure get 20, 22 in that ballpark, or a hard-ass, bust-ass 15 to 18 out of it, and you can make a feud of these guys. And Samoa Joe can carry anybody to a 4 or 5-star match, and he can damn sure do it with Roman Reigns.
I'd love to see Samoa Joe Roman Reigns headline SummerSlam in 2016. I mean, just make that their goal. I mean, having a fresh guy on top who can get a really good match out of Roman, and Roman maybe works to being ready to have that 30-minute match with him. You know, I mean, Roman's held, he kept up with Daniel Bryan, he kept up with Brock Lesnar. I think he wouldn't be gassed and embarrassing himself at the 25-minute mark against Joe, especially if he took it seriously, you know, and knew this is coming up and I got to be in shape for it.
Well, he's got to take it seriously. Like I said, you know, 30 minutes ago, man, the pressure's on this kid, Wade. You know, cardio ought to be, you know, one of the key things on his list of things to do every single day. Because, man, if you can't go, the worst thing you can be, I remember when I was coming back from my tricep injury, I was working with Savio Vega every night in the ring for 2 months. Jesus Christ, Savio kicked my ass because he's, you know, he's old school Puerto Rican. He's going to get his stuff in. I had to shine him up, and then I had to get some heat on him. Hell, my heat consisted of laying in a rear chin lock because I was gassed. I was blown up. Boy, after working with Savio for 2 months, he got my ass in shape. And if we weren't jerking a curtain, we were the popcorn match. And if you followed, there was basically nobody on the card was going to follow that match after Savio got me in shape. So that's one of the things I really loved about Savio. He's a hell of a worker. But with Joe, man, Joe can go in there and have a great match with this kid. But Roman Reigns, he has got to be in premier physical condition right now, and cardio should be key one on his list of things to do. He's got a great body. He's got a great look. He's a handsome guy. But, mister, now you've got to go.
And a little bit less on the cocky smirking. And I think a lot, Mick Foley said it in slightly
different. Dude, don't smirk so much. He needs to turn down his facials by 50%.
Yep.
Just a little glimmer here. Just he overplays that, and it's too much because of just the way he comes off. It comes across as heelish and arrogant. And I barely know the guy, and I think he's a good dude, and I'm cheering for him. But to your point, yes, back off on all those facials, those looks, those smiles or smirks, whatever you call them.
Anthony from Australia had a follow-up. Any plans to interview Bret Hart or Daniel Bryan on WWE Network? Happy holidays and hope to shout you a beer in Australia one day.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, when here's how that WWE Network stuff goes. You know, they pretty much are booking that. They'll say, hey, man, how about talking to so-and-so? And I'll say, okay, cool. So, you know, it's not like I can just, well, actually I can request, but I think that they kind of have the next few picked as we build into WrestleMania. So, yes, I would love to talk to either guys. I've talked to Daniel Bryan before. It was a phone conversation, but love to catch up with him, see what he's doing, how he's doing. Can he come back if they'll let him? Will he? And Bret is one of my favorites of all time. He's one of the greatest workers to ever step foot in a ring and an absolute artist. So I would love to talk to either one on the WWE Network Stone Cold Podcast.
David Gillespie of Ona, West Virginia, a VIP member, says, excluding for time, did the WWE Network edit any content from your recent podcast with Shawn Michaels that you wanted left in?
I don't know, because I've never seen a WWE podcast that I've done. I don't listen to my own shows on the audio version because I don't like to listen to my voice, and I don't like to watch myself on television, so I don't know what they left in. I don't know what they took out.
That is a... that is the answer I expected. I totally get that. let's go to this question. Sean L. says, "Who?" And actually, a number of people emailed this today. Who is your dream guest for your podcast, either on the network or just a phone, you know, phone or Skype interview? And number two, would Steve be interested in having Hulk Hogan as a guest on his podcast? And three, who does Steve think is the best in the business right now in any promotion?
Man, as far as a dream guest, I don't know, man. I don't even hardly think about that, really. I just kind of play my podcast by the fly, seat of my pants. Wait, you know this. I've talked to you a couple times. Hey, man, I need some help. Yeah, come on, I'll do the show. So, yeah, I don't know about a dream guest. As far as Hogan, I'd love to talk to Hulk Hogan on the podcast. Man, that guy, had one of the, one if not the biggest run in the history of the business. I got a lot of respect for the guy. So sure, I would love to talk to him. And what was the other part of that question, Wade?
I have moved on to looking at the next one. Let me bring it back up.
Okay.
No, I got it. Or maybe I
don't. Okay.
And here we go. Oh, there we go. Who do you think is the best in the business right now?
Oh, best in the business is purely up for, it's my best may be different from your best, but I think you put just from well-rounded work, from just watching Samoa Joe, that guy's a hell of a damn hand. You can look at a guy like Finn Balor. You could throw him in there. You could, if Daniel Bryan was around anymore, you could say that guy. I like a lot of the stuff that Neville does. Best in the world. God dang, help me out here, Wade.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the main roster right now and the top guys that they're kind of lining up. I mean, there's a lot of guys I like, but I just don't put, like, best in the world on them. You know, I like Dean Ambrose. I don't think he's best in the world.
I was going from what I've seen these guys just as far as movesets and how they work. But, you know, it's not really who's the best. It's like, who's on top? Who's number one? And you know, if so, and why? Well, Roman Reigns is on top right now. He just got on top. He's not the best in the world, but he's got a long ways to go. So we'll see how he goes to attain that level or put asses in seats. Other than that, man, because I don't get a chance to watch Monday Night Raw all the time, Wade. That's why I said the guys that I mentioned just because I saw a little bit of the work just recently.
Well, and I think a lot of times, too, the best in the world is not necessarily transferable to every other situation. Like, the best in the world in New Japan is not necessarily the best in the world at WrestleMania. And it's not necessarily the best in the world at being in NXT. Like, there's just guys who are really, really well-suited for exactly what they're doing in the spot that they're in, and it doesn't transfer. Like, you don't need to be the best in the world to necessarily be the top draw in a certain company at a certain time. So in that sense, it's kind of a tough question to answer because you could say, well, the best in the world is who's ever drawn money and drawing ratings. That's why I have you at a 10 and Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart at 8 and 9 in the context of saying, top star, because you drew way better than Bret and Shawn did, and I think you drew better than they would have if they were given the same opportunity in the Attitude Era. But they were, as you said, unbelievably accomplished athletes and wrestlers and ring generals. And so it's not sometimes, Neville might be a better worker than Roman Reigns, but how many people out there, and some would, some wouldn't, would take Neville as their top centerpiece star over Roman Reigns? They both have some shortcomings when it comes to what it takes to be that top guy.
Yeah, so anyway, it's kind of a moot point. It's subjective, and guys who've already had their runs, you could put an objective section into that just because of who drew what. But that being said, what do you got for me? Let's do that. Let's move on.
Absolutely. Okay, Brian from Phoenix, Arizona, 24-year Pro Wrestling Torch subscriber, says, "Hey, Steve, big fan of yours since the WCW days. Is there a chance that Chris Adams could be inducted into the 2016 Hall of Fame? Besides the Freebirds, what other Texas acts would you like to see inducted at WrestleMania 32? And 2 years ago, I asked Wade Keller and Bruce Mitchell about Iceman King Parsons' chances in New Orleans. Could Dallas be a better fit? Thanks and happy holidays."
Oh, man. I don't think Chris Adams is going to be on the radar of WWE with respect to the Hall of Fame. I think Chris had a great run, and he was instrumental in my career as he trained me, and I got into a feud with him, which got me the Rookie of the Year because of the high profile of it, and we were able to pull it off and execute it at a high level, and I give him all the credit in the world for that. I really enjoyed working with Chris. I think he had a ton of charisma. He was a great heel. He was a babyface that everybody loved. He had great fire. Hall of Fame, that'd be up to WWE. And from the rest of the Texas people, man, I can't think of enough guys from Texas just off the top of my head that I just say Hall of Fame. So, Gino had such an interesting run, but it was a short run because, he died at a very young age. But, I mean, that guy had superstar written all over him. It's kind of ahead of his time, but, I don't think he's going to be on the radar. I mean, speaking of Gino Hernandez, but I don't know that you just say, okay, here you go, we're going to put him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, everybody he mentioned are borderline, even – in a context that isn't the WWE lens. You know, where what did you do in WWE? Or you better have been at the very, very top if you weren't. And I don't
exactly.
think
they're there, yeah. But here's the thing. A guy sent me an email the other day. He said, what about superstar Bill Dundee? He was 5'2", blah, blah, blah. Does he deserve to be in the Hall of Fame? Well, first of all, Bill was probably 5'6", or 5'7".
Right.
I don't know exactly how tall he was. I never said, stand up here against this wall. I want to see how tall you are. But I tell you what, superstar Bill Dundee, in my opinion, ought to be in the Hall of Fame. That son of a gun drew money. And Lawler gets a lot of credit where people who go back in history and washed up Lawler's work. He was one of the greatest of all time. That dude can talk anybody into a building. He could carry his end of the conversation or promo. Him and Lance Russell were absolutely gold, but half that money he drew was with Bill Dundee. And I remember when I went there, I was working with Bill Dundee. And, of course, I was at the time by 6'2", 255, 252, whatever. And now, all of a sudden, I'm working with a guy that's about 5'7", 200. And I'm thinking I'm just going to beat the hell out of him because I'm the bigger guy. Well, that's when I got my, you know, come to Jesus meeting with an established veteran and star in the territory. And I learned so much from Bill Dundee. So although he wasn't from Texas, he was a guy that I crossed paths with down here in Tennessee. But that's a guy, to me, who does belong in Hall of Fame.
I'm with you on that. You mentioned Jerry Lawler, and it got me thinking, too, Kevin Owens. When you talk about saying a lot without always yelling, and I'm with you that there's times he's got to put on the gas pedal, but Lawler was a guy who picked his moments too, and I think Kevin Owens, if he isn't a student of Jerry Lawler, reminds me of him. I think every single wrestler, Wade Barrett, Sheamus, Roman Reigns, everybody should watch and study Jerry Lawler. And you got to talk to the person who knows what material to look at. Although, really, there's no bad Jerry Lawler. I mean, but pre-WWF is what I'm talking about, especially what he did in Memphis with a limited in the ring, not just on the mic, how efficient he was at telling a story without taking a bunch of crazy bumps and doing a bunch of high spots and having a super muscular body by any means. He's still one of the geniuses of this sport for what he did.
And again, you go back and watch his old promos, listen and watch to his cadence, how he'll start and he'll get on a roll and, you know, then he'll slow down or he'll shake his head, but just watch his delivery, his execution, and just how he flows. Jerry Lawler was one of the best talkers in the history of the business, bar none.
Yes, absolutely. All right, next email question. We'll take a couple calls in a minute here too. Listening to both of you talk about pro wrestling, and I'm hoping these chats remain a regular slot on both podcasts after each month's pay-per-views. Well, we'll see. Quick question for Steve. Knowing Vince as well as you do, what do you think his mindset was returning to TV after so long? Was it just a case of, screw it, I'll have to go out there and get Roman over myself? Or do you think he did it to prove a point, perhaps to prove to himself that he still has what it takes to be great on screen, or prove to the fans that they will like what he wants them to like because he's Vince McMahon, damn it. And if it takes him going out there and shoving it down their throat, then so be it. Or maybe he wanted an ego boost to see if his appearance would significantly increase those ratings, which it did. You don't have to say address each of his theories that he threw out, but just in general, you worked more than anybody did with Vince McMahon more successfully. What do you think the mindset was of Vince going out there? I think I need to get out there to give Roman the boost and to let people know I'm not wavering. This guy's my guy.
Well, I mean, you're talking from an IWC standpoint. I'm not wavering. This is my guy. Just from the casual fan or the hardcore fan that just watches the TV show and doesn't get on the internet. Hey, man, his job is to go out there and get that kid over. That's okay. Yeah, that's the guy that he picked, but that's not what we're thinking while we're supposed to just be watching Raw for what it is.
Yep.
Unless you want to go behind the scenes and start talking booking, that's a whole different story. But, yeah, it worked when he did the feud, little thing with Brett, when Brett pushed him down. Obviously, the angle that we did together was, you know, a huge part of my career and transcended the business. So it was a little bit of a page out of the Austin McMahon feud, but that's just fine. I'm sure we took a few pages out of someone else's book as well. My point is, he's trying to get the guy over. He thought this would be a good opportunity to do it. He put himself back on TV. He seems pretty resign just to be off camera now, but to make a special appearance and help get the kid over. And yes, Mr. McMahon does put asses in seat, and he does tune in viewers because he's over. And so that's why he went back on TV, and will he be back? Who knows? But they got what they needed out of him. They moved Roman up to another peg, another rung, and it worked.
And I think it's also important for context to realize no Seth Rollins, no John Cena. Gimmick infringement, Steve. No John Cena.
My dogs are barking. Someone's breaking in out here at the ranch. No, talk to me about John Cena.
Yeah, so in the context of Vince McMahon and Stephanie and Hunter doing what they did with Roman this week, it's important to keep in mind Cena's out, Daniel Bryan's out, Seth Rollins is out, Randy Orton is out. There's so many injuries. The part-timers aren't around right now. And they just realized with the ratings the way they were, the crowd responses the way they were, having Roman kind of just hover around for three, 4 more weeks before they get to Mania season might have done even more damage. So I think part of the reason Vince came back is he looked around and he didn't see anybody. And you could say, well, it's his fault for not getting people ready. I mean, that's a reasonable debate point. But he looked around and said, I got to get Roman over. It's not working with anyone else. Damn it, I got to step in. And I think that's part of it. I also am curious at what point, if ever, Vince, and he probably isn't going to be on TV very much at all going forward, but does he ever change from chairman, Mr. McMahon, grapefruits, you don't think I can kick your ass, I can, to a different, more age-appropriate character or role? I mean, every wrestler goes through what sort of Vince is now at a later age in terms of transitioning, or Kobe Bryant's going through it now. You know, I can't, I'm not the athlete I once was. I don't have that spring in my step, and I'm getting hurt too often. Vince is almost at that point at age 70 in terms of being the Mr. McMahon, grovelly voice character. I would look forward to seeing if he transitioned into something else that felt fun and effective, but perhaps more age appropriate, unless he just is going to continue to be the crazy old guy who still thinks he's 35.
Yeah, but what would be fun and effective that Vince would do? You know, I just don't think there's a context in which that fits. I mean, certainly he's all about putting a smile on people's faces, but that's not who, in my opinion, the Mr. McMahon character is. And to your point, sometimes characters need to evolve, but I don't mean to put the guy into a box and say this is all you can be. But, you know, I don't know that I want to see the mellow Vince. Here's the thing. Back when I used to go out there, when they'd bring me back for all these special appearances, just to go out there and clack beers together, you know, it, to me, it was great to see the fans. It was great to get the pop, but it was very gratuitous because that's all that I was doing. Because, and I had to explain this to Kevin Dunn one time. I said, listen, I said, you guys got to understand, back in the day when I was working full time, I was always against the system. The system was against me. I was pissed off. I had a reason to do all these things that I'm doing. So now that I just come out there and crash a few beers together, it's great for nostalgia, but you got to put yourself in my shoes as a person that's doing it. It's kind of hard. So, you know, for Vince just probably slewed off track here, but that was a bad segue there, Wade.
That's all right. Stacey had a thought.
I just don't see Vince changing for the sake of changing. He's that guy, and I think that's who and what he's going to be. I don't think that you can see him on TV consecutive weeks, or if ever again. Well, that remains to be seen.
Did we earlier, and I'm sorry if I missed it, did you say who your dream podcast guest would be? Because we had another question from Callum Hillier, VIP member, and he wanted to know, this actually expands it. Who would be your dream podcast guest from today or the past, dead or alive, and it doesn't have to be a wrestler? That's interesting.
Oh, man, Evel Knievel.
Ah, yeah. I love that. I've seen documentaries on that guy. He doesn't seem like he was the greatest guy in the world, but man, do I love watching documentaries on him.
Man, he was just a unique individual.
He was,
he would have been a great pro wrestler.
I agree. I wish I knew the name of the documentary that I watched. It was probably like 20 years ago now. I probably watched like three times. You're absolutely right. Super fascinating character. Give me a couple other names, though, too. Oh, go ahead. Expand on that, too.
No, but check out the new documentary. It's called Being Evil. and they've got a lot of stuff in there that wasn't released before.
Oh, cool.
And I'm doing research right now to interview Robbie Knievel, his son. So that's going to be coming up in a few weeks. I'm really looking forward to talking to him. That guy's had a rough life, a tough life, and has jumped further than his dad. You know, of course, Evil had the gimmick with, you know, being Evil Knievel. So nonetheless, his son had a hell of a career. So I'm looking forward to talking to him. Man, I tell you what, I think it'd been interesting to sit down and try to have a conversation with Flying Brian Pillman. Just because he left us way too soon. I would have loved to talk to Randy Macho Man Savage, just because that's a guy that I never, you know, I did a job for him one time in Orlando, but me and him, we never mixed, we never talked, we never hung around. A lot of respect and admiration for him. We were never around in the same territory together, so I didn't get a chance to know him, but that guy was one of the best of all time. Those are just a few names off the top of my head.
I'd love to see, I mean, it's, again, I got to get my obligatory world-class reference in, but you mentioned him earlier, Gino Hernandez. I'd love to see you talk to Gino. He's somebody who I saw as a young teenager, and then he died, but I thought he had such a, there was just a real special heel charisma about him that I think would actually be really interesting on a podcast.
Well, yeah, also, yeah, to your point, and also, man, I would have loved to talk to Bruiser Brody. I would have loved to talk to Terry Bam Bam Gordy.
Yep.
But Brody, I mean, because behind that, you know, the menacing, crazy character that he was in the ring was a super smart, very thoughtful cat, you know, in real life. And, you know, I don't know anything about how he practiced his business. You know, he went over to Puerto Rico and got murdered, and no one's ever really got to the bottom of that, but man, that dude was a very, very smart guy. He was a businessman. He was over as hell, and he was a badass. And man, he was an original.
Vince Senior would be a great podcast guest if you could capture him at, you know, at the 1980.
Well, I'll go with you on that. Yeah, Vince Senior. But how about this one? Vince McMahon not playing the face of the company and just talking as a dude.
Yeah.
Because I talked to him on the Stone Cold podcast, and that was one thing. But, again, you're talking to a guy who's the head of a publicly traded company, and we can only go where we went. Mm-hmm. So just sit there and have a conversation. Say, all right, Vince, I'm going to ask you anything and everything I want to ask right now. Here we go. And, by the way, don't remember that you're, you know, the head of this this company, this corporate publicly traded company, and just answer the questions and let's shoot the breeze like a couple of guys drinking whiskey over a fire. That would be off the charts because that guy has seen it all and done it all.
Have you ever?
He just can't talk about it all.
No, he can't. Did I had Bob Backlund on the show a couple months ago? Actually, a couple times in a row. To talk about his autobiography. It's a great book. I know you don't like to read a lot of books. Bob's book is really fascinating. March through the late 70s to early 80s, WWF, you know, just that era. I had never seen anybody cover it in the kind of detail that he and his co-author, who did it, just a tremendous job with the book. I want to give the co-author a shout-out if I can find the book on my shelf among all these others. But Bob talked about his relationship with Vince Sr. and said that he considered him. He felt he was really close with him, but he never really had long conversations with him. You know, there was a connection, but it was a trusted employee, trusted boss type relationship. When you look at your relationship with Vince McMahon, how did you ever have the drinking whiskey around a campfire conversation with him at any length or at any level where you felt you were getting past that veneer that he feels the need to put up?
Oh, absolutely, man. We'd go out to dinner every now and then, me, him, and Shane. And we'd be sitting there drinking whatever Vince drinks, some kind of high-dollar stuff. We'd drink it on the rocks, just shooting the breeze. No, I had many great conversations with Vince, and I just didn't consider him a boss. Man, he was a mentor. I considered him a friend. And we had all kinds of conversations. And, you know, if I ever sometimes, not every time, because, you know, being a guy, you don't want to ask for help. But, I mean, that guy gave me advice on certain times. And I would definitely say that we were way closer than just being a boss and an employee. I considered a guy a friend. And we had lots of laughs and lots of kayfabe conversations together.
That's cool. That's good to know. Would you be able to go up to Vince now or even think about it and go, Vince, I know you're busy, but damn, we had some good years together and we did a lot. And I just want to catch up and I want to do it without cameras rolling, a mic on. Just, you know, let's just you know, I mean, it's like, let's get together and let's just reflect a little bit, because neither of us are going to be on this planet forever, and I don't want to lose that opportunity to look back on a little bit, because Vince looks forward so much. Is that something you'd look forward to, or do you think you're just kind of both in a different place now?
No, as a matter of fact, I was filming Broken Skull Challenge. I think it was not this past season, the season before, and you know, every now and then in the business, I'll just reach out to someone. And right before Paul Barrett died, I'd reached out to him, and we had started talking on the phone. But, you know, so one night I was out there at the ranch. I stay on location 50 miles out of Los Angeles out there in my trailer, and it's just absolutely wonderful because I'm 50 miles out of L.A. in the middle of nowhere on a mountain in a desert. So I was just thinking about some wrestling days, so I sent Vince some text, man, just say, hey, man, I just want to let you know I sure enjoyed working with you. And, you know, I just reaffirmed, you know, the fact that, hey, you know, because a lot of guys that get into, the business, or they get to the WWF, and then everything's hunky-dory, and then there's a big blow-up, and everybody hates each other. You know, so now I'm you know, doing my own thing now, but I'm still technically with WWE. I just wanted the guy to know that, hey, I appreciated everything he did for me. And, you know, I did things for him, too, but he really helped me out. And my wrestling career has helped me, you know, to this very part of my life, sitting here talking to you on the phone, and has afforded me so many opportunities. And that's one thing Vince always says he does. He gives people an opportunity. So I just wanted to let him know, after the good times and the bad times, that, hey, I appreciated everything he did for me. And one of these days, I'd like to catch up. And I basically almost said that in a text, just shoot the breeze and just talk. And he's down with it. So maybe in the next year or two, we'll get a chance. And I know we're going to sit down at a steakhouse, have a couple of shots of whiskey or whatever, and shoot the breeze. I did send him that text, and I think we're going to do that one of these days. I don't know when, because he's busy as hell. And I'm over on the West Coast or in South Texas, and I'm busy as hell. But that isn't an agreement that we look forward to doing one of these days.
I'm going to apologize to callers. We're not going to take calls today. So those of you on hold, I just want to talk to Steve today, pick out a few emails from the batch we got. And we both have kind of a hard 60-minute limit today, which normally we're a little more flexible. But I want a final question, because you just said something about hanging out with Shane McMahon too. Do you think Shane McMahon, from the time you were with him, does it surprise you that he's not in the wrestling business? And knowing him back then the way that you were able to, do you think it's in any way inevitable or even possible that he gets back into wrestling in some form or fashion?
Man, that's be purely speculation that it's inevitable he gets back in it. But, man, Shane, that guy's so passionate and loves the business. Every single thing about it he loves. And so I would have never imagined, you know, all these years, you know, removed from when, you know, I left the picture and then he left the picture, or whatever happened between, you know, the family members and he went his own way. Never in a million years would I guess that Shane McMahon would be out of the business of pro wrestling.
Wow. And yet Stephanie and Hunter seem pretty primed to be those. It'd be awkward, I think, for Shane to come back. But who knows? You know, maybe there's a, over time, Steph and Hunter might think there's a place for him that would really make sense. And they would see him as fitting in, and Shane would feel comfortable coming back. It's an interesting story to keep an eye on. Steve, thank you.
Yeah, but you just mentioned you hit it right. You hit the nail right on the head. I mean, the power dynamic there with you know, Triple H and Stephanie. You know, they're next in line.
Yeah.
And you know, again, Stephanie was off the charts the other night with those slaps. I loved it. So Paul's doing the greatest work of his life right now in the role that he's doing, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens when they get handed the reins. An interesting time, but I don't see that Shane would just come back and everything's going to be hunky dory. Man, that's a power struggle, and that's a shoot.
Yeah, Steve, thank you so much. Always good talking to you. Time flew by, and I looked at the clock, and we hadn't gotten the callers, so again, apologize to callers. Thanks, Steve, for your time. It was good getting a little follow-up here on what we talked about on your show on Tuesday. Thanks so much.
Hey, you're welcome, Wade. And sorry, I got lost in translation trying to describe the Stone Cold character with the Vince McMahon character. I'll get back on track, and we'll cover that again. I got sidetracked. I got a bunch of projects going on out here at the ranch. But nonetheless, always happy to be on your show. And, Wade, let me give a quick plug out there. Yep. Steve Austin Show airs on Tuesday. It's family friendly. You can download it free on iTunes or go to Podcast One. And Thursday's explicit content. Everything flies with the kitchen sink. That airs on Thursday. It's a free download as well. But anyway, nonetheless, it's an award-winning podcast, which ain't won a GD thanks.
And does that bother you or not?
No, I love saying that because if I win an award, I won't be able to say the award-winning podcast, which has never won an award. So really, it's a whole rib.
I know.
I'm not out there to win awards. It's just something fun for me to say.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Steve, thanks a lot. You can follow him on Twitter. Just look up Steve Austin. Do you have a reality show that people should tune into soon?
Hey, Wade, glad you mentioned that. January 3rd, Broken Skull Challenge, season premiere, January 3rd on CMT. The baddest, toughest, coolest show on television comes back with a vengeance. And this thing is going to be 18 episodes. And if you thought the first two seasons were epic, this season will be off the charts, guaranteed. Watch it. You'll be blown away. And then Redneck Island comes on January 28th, so I'll have two shows on CMT.
Man, you're busy. Thank you, Steve. We'll talk to you very soon.
You got it, Wade. Y'all take care.
Yep. Thank you, everybody, for joining us here at PWTorchLivecast.com. You can find our show live on the air Monday through Friday. Tomorrow, Bruce Mitchell and Travis Bryant take over the airwaves and talk about the week in wrestling. I have no idea if either of them will have seen Star Wars, but if they have and you haven't, you need to be kind of careful because Bruce doesn't really believe in honoring spoilers. He thinks that if something has happened, you should be able to talk about it. Like, so I'm just saying, I don't trust Bruce to see Star Wars and not spoil it. So tune in, but have the mute button ready, just in case. Now, I'm pretty sure he won't have time to see Star Wars by tomorrow night's show, so don't worry about it. Should be a fun discussion, as it always is with Bruce and Travis with the Week in Review. So much to talk about this week. You can hear Travis Bryant with Pat McNeil and Brian Leahy talking about NXT TakeOver. They did a live post-game show right after NXT ended last night, and that is yesterday's PW Torch Livecast. And then up right below that on the listing from Tuesday is a long two-hour episode that Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net and I recorded, or actually we broadcast live, but you can listen on demand. Long discussion on everything, TLC and Monday Night Raw. Really good show, really good callers, really worth checking out. And then Monday, the Raw post-game show with James Caldwell and Pat McNeil reviewing Raw as soon as it ended at the bottom of the hour, 11:30 Eastern. So tune in again this coming Monday also for the Raw postgame show with James Caldwell, hosting and taking your phone calls. If you're not a VIP member of PW Torch, ad-free access to these shows and tons more current audio and retro audio. We put up new retro radio shows from the early 90s that sometimes I was a guest on. John Arezzi's Pro Wrestling Spotlight. When you sign up, you get the entire run of 100 episodes of the Pro Wrestling Focus show that I hosted on KFAN radio in the early 90s with a lot of big name guests. Fascinating stuff. You're not going to find that anywhere else. And ad-free access to our website, ad-free mobile website, ad-free desktop website. 28 years of back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch Weekly Newsletter. Great, great, great content for $10 a month. If you're a wrestling fan who enjoys this type of conversation on wrestling, you will love being a VIP member. We are up to speed with technology. You can subscribe to our VIP password-protected audio shows on iTunes, on the Downcast app, on Beyond Pod, on Dogcatcher, on podcast, all kinds of podcast apps on iPhone and Android. And if you're not real savvy with technology, I put a lot of time into this. It is a step-by-step, thoroughly tested process for telling you exactly where to go, what to enter, what button to push to get VIP audio working. It's not complicated, but we tell you exactly where that button is so you don't have that frustrating 3 minutes of going, what do I push on these apps? So we tell you what we recommend, which ones our users have the best ratings for, really walk you through the process. I know for some of you it's no problem, but I know for others it's a little bit, you know, well, how am I going to get all these VIP audio shows on my phone or on iTunes, and we walk you through it. There's a VIP audio tips link in the upper right corner of the VIP website. So we'd love to have you as a member. Well, I talk to you every day with the Wade Keller Hotline. I'm over 1,500 straight days without a day off of the Wade Keller Hotline every single morning for years. There's a Wade Keller Hotline waiting for VIP members. If there's breaking news, I cover it. analyze it, put it in perspective. If it's a slower news day, then I'll answer VIP member questions in long form and kind of a longer form format than even here on the live cast, and really dive into things and give background and behind the scenes anecdotes and talk about all my years covering wrestling going back to the late 80s. And I review Raw. As soon as Raw is over on Monday nights, I'm recording an in-depth recap of it. So if you don't see it or you only see parts of it, I'll catch you up on what happened, but of course also include a lot of analysis and points of view from what I think worked and what I think didn't, and that's available every Monday night and, of course, Tuesday morning for most of you waiting in your podcast feed. So check it out, pwtorch.com/govip. pwtorch.com/govip is the page to go to sign up and jump right to the order page if you want. And we'd love to have you as a member, $10 a month, or you can get a discount by jumping in for a year. Just $99 gets you a full year of incredible library access and new content every single day, new newsletter every week, new exclusive articles, my written reports on Raw and other TV shows and pay-per-views, the staff roundtable reviews of pay-per-views, so much more. Check it out. $10 is all it takes to get a full month of access to everything, 28 years plus of what I have dedicated my professional life to with a great staff and contributions over these years. It's a really fun site you can just lose yourself in with fascinating stories, news stories, editorials, interview transcripts, and vintage audio and new audio every day. There's my plug. Give it a shot, pwtorch.com/govip. And another mention, pwtorch.com/Amazon. Please check it out when you're shopping Amazon and you start typing AMAZ, stop and think of us. All you have to do is go pwtorch.com/Amazon and click on US, UK, or Canada. It takes you right to where you're going anyway, but Amazon knows we sent you, and then we get a cut of the profit they would normally keep in exchange for us plugging them on this show. So it's win-win-win for everybody. You're headed to Amazon anyway. We're giving Amazon some publicity. They give us a cut of the profits. So don't type AMAZ. Stop there. pwtorch.com/Amazon. MMA fans, big fight card coming up Saturday night on Fox broadcast. And Jamie Pennick and company at our sister brand, MMATorch.com, have you covered. Download the new app on iPhone. Android is coming soon, but our new app is out. The PW Torch app and the MMA Torch app, built from the ground up. Check my Twitter feed for rave reviews. It is absolutely worth searching PW Torch of Pro Wrestling and MMA Torch, or just MMA, in the App Store on your iPhone or iPad, and download our new app. We are proud of it. It is spectacular. It is gorgeous. And it is fast, and it will keep you up to date. And we also have a great mobile site, pwtorch.com. So check all that out. But again, if you're a UFC fan, you owe it to yourself to download the MMA Torch app or visit us on your laptop at mmatorch.com on our brand new website this fall, built again, brand new from the ground up. Everything is new in the fall and winter of 2015 as far as the Torch goes. And we appreciate everybody for your support. We're on our way to another tremendous month of listenership. Last November shattered our records for anything except a WrestleMania month. And it was 50%, about 50% up from last November, and last November was like 30-some percent up from the previous November, so we just continue to grow year after year after year, and we thank you for that. Keep spreading the word, and if you have a moment, go to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating and a few nice words. It helps spread the word about what we do here. If you like what we do, take 2-3 minutes out, or maybe 30 seconds out, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and a little review telling other people why they should check out this show. Thanks, everybody, and until next time, Wade Keller, signing off. This is life.